Well, I am excited this morning to introduce our speaker. Our speaker has had a huge influence and impact in my life. And I know that I knew I wasn't going to be able to do this without getting emotional. But it's because our speaker this morning is my sister. And it's my middle older sister. And it's funny, as I was just thinking about her coming and speaking, I was realizing that part of the reason I'm here today is because of my sister. She started young as a freshman, I think, helping at Campus Life, the JV, which I was in middle school, and inviting me to come and be a part, and always encouraged me to come to Campus Life. And when I was a young freshman and she was a junior, she let me trail along with her and her other friends to youth group and continued to encourage me and continued to challenge me in my walk with the Lord. And I realized the impact because of this, because I realized when I was a junior and my little sister was a freshman, I didn't do the same thing. I didn't ask my sister if she wanted to go to youth group. I didn't want her to cramp my style, right? And I realized that my sister, what she did for me was huge. And what she did for me, it impacted. And as I got involved in youth group and as I got involved with Campus Life, it was then and camps and those kind of things that I felt the call to ministry. And so she was a huge influence in my life. And I remember when I got asked to be the youth pastor at Eastside in Eugene, my very first time to be the youth pastor, and I was scared to death. I was scared about preaching on a regular basis. Man, how do you do that? And how do you come up with this kind of stuff? I hadn't been to Bible college. And I remember she said this to me. She goes, "Hey, Darren, what was your favorite message that Lee Erickson spoke?" And Lee Erickson was my youth pastor, which I loved to death. They were like everything to me. And I said, "I don't know. I have no clue what any of his messages were. I don't remember." And she said, "It's about the relationship, Darren. It's about how they loved you and cared for you. And if you do that as a youth pastor, then you will be impactful in kids' lives." And so it is a pleasure for me today to introduce my sister to come and to preach this morning.
Well, good morning. Crying runs in the family. We'll see how much of it I do today, but I am so excited to be here. We are on vacation. We live in Los Angeles. We've been up in Oregon for a few weeks and wrapping that up, and just happy to be able to come and share with you today. And Darren is very brave to let his sister speak, because I know stories. I know all kinds of stories. The problem with that is Darren knows stories too. So I've decided it's better to just leave what we know where we know it, not in Vegas. We never did anything in Vegas, but we're not going to tell stories on each other this morning. I will tell you, though, that Darren and Stacy are such a blessing to me and Tim, our family. Their kids, Toby and Emma, are some of my kids' best friends. Even from a distance, they have Skype dates. Abby and Emma will play for hours over the computer. And so they just set the computer up on the table, and then they play dolls and Barbies and all kinds of amazing games. So we're thankful for them just as family, but it's also been so fun to watch their ministry grow. They were youth pastors with us when we were in Newburg, Oregon, and now to watch them here in Dallas leading this church, you have an amazing gift in your pastors, Darren and Stacy. I know I may be biased because they're family, but they truly are a gift to you and a gift to this city. They love Dallas, and God has put them here, and you guys are so blessed to be able to be a part of what God is doing in this church, but in your city. It's so exciting to see the outreach, that you're not a church that just looks inward about what you're doing and what you can get out of church, but you are a church that loves this city. And Darren and Stacy are leading that charge, and we are just excited to get to watch that kind of from a distance. So we love you guys. Today, my message, I think it's a simple one, but I really felt like I was supposed to bring and share this with you. I didn't know until I think it was Wednesday or maybe Thursday that I was going to be doing this. So too bad for you. It's kind of a hopefully it'll be okay. But I prayed about whether or not I actually knew. I thought, oh, I feel like I'm supposed to tell Darren I'll do it. truth, he asked my husband to speak. Tim's probably a better speaker than I am, but Tim's in vacation mode. He spoke at a church last week, and he's like, I really don't feel like I'm supposed to do it. And as soon as he said that, I thought, I think I'm supposed to do it. But I'm not going to tell anyone yet, because maybe that'll go away. So I waited a few hours and said, okay, I think I'm supposed to do this. So I am happy to be here and share this word that God put on my heart for you. And I hope that these words will touch your heart and bring you closer to him. And that by the end of this, you'll have a little bit clearer picture of who you are as well as whose you are. Let's pray as we get started. Father, we are grateful for who you are in our lives, Lord. Thank you for the love that you lavish on us, that you accept us, who we are, where we are, all of our bumps and bruises, and the good, the bad, and the ugly, you love us. Lord, I ask that this morning as we open your word, you would speak to us, deposit your truth in our hearts, Lord, and may we leave here a little bit different, Lord, changed by your word and your love. In your name we pray. Amen. The verse I want to start with today is in 1 John 3:1, and actually I'm going to read a little bit before that. It starts in 2:29 of 1 John 2. It says, "And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." And that's what we're going to talk about today, the fact that we are children of God. I'm going to move this. If you have given your life to Jesus, then you are a child of God. You are a child of the King. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, you can. It's not too late. That's something that you can do today. And we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the message. But the first thing of importance that I want to share with you today is very simple. And it's that God loves you. And that love is unconditional. I looked up the word unconditional, and they defined it as not limited to any conditions, which I thought was silly, because I don't think you were supposed to define a word with the same word. But other words to describe that unconditional love would be wholehearted, unqualified, unreserved, unlimited, unrestricted, and unquestioning. So that's the kind of love we're talking about, that there are no restrictions on it, no limits on the love that God loves us with. And there are a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about God's love. And just so you know that I'm not making this up, I'm going to read a few of them to you. The first one is out of Romans 5, verse 8. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 8, 38 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I love that list. It just goes through all kinds of things. And there is so much going on in our world right now that's troubling. It can be fearful for us sometimes. And I think it's important to remember that none of that, death, demons, the future, any powers, nothing in all of creation can separate us from God's love for us. And then Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5, and then skip down to verses 8 through 9 says this, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." And this is so important that a couple of verses later, Paul, who is writing this letter to the Ephesians, repeats it. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And we'll talk about that a little bit, but we are saved by God's grace, not by our works. Now, later, we see fruit in our life because of the works that we do, but those works cannot save us. And Titus 3, 4 and 5 says this, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And God's love is so full of grace and so full of mercy. And grace means getting something that you don't deserve. Mercy, just a simple definition, is not getting what you do deserve. And because of our sin, because of the fact that we turned our backs on God, what we really deserved is death. But Jesus paid that price for us. Because of his great love, rich in mercy, rich in grace, we don't have to experience that death, that separation from God. We get to experience his love. And this is key. God's love is a gift. It's not by works, and it's not because of anything you've done. His love is free, and you can't earn it. And I think that one of the biggest lies the enemy has told us is that we can earn it. I think we start to believe that God's love is something that I have to do the right thing, say the right thing, be the right thing, and that is not true at all. God's love can't be earned, and just as importantly, it can't be unearned. You cannot do anything that's going to make God stop loving you. He loves us, period. So the first thing is God loves you, and it's unconditional. The second thing that I felt like I needed to say today is talking about being a child of the King. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be a child of the King? We read in 1 John 3, it says we are children of God, which means we're children of the King. And I think one of the big things it means is that we have access. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are no longer separated from God, but we have access to walk into the throne room to be with our Heavenly Father. So what does access mean? Well, Tim and I, my husband's here. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Say hi to everyone. Tim's here. We have three kids. One of them, Johnny, is with us today. He's like, really, you're going to make me say hi? He's my 13-year-old. My daughter, Abby, is 9, and Caleb's 15. They're in Eugene with my parents. These kids love their dad, and they know that their dad loves them. And they have access to him whenever they want it. Tim and I pastor a larger church in Los Angeles, and after church on Sunday, there's often a lot of people waiting to talk to Tim. But my kids know that they don't have to wait. Now, they do have good manners. They're not going to just come up and interrupt. But if they need their dad, they have full access to him. They don't need to make an appointment. They don't need to schedule it for, Dad, can I talk to you on Tuesday at 2 after school gets out? Would that be okay? My daughter, Abby, knows that she can run up to her dad and give him a hug anytime she wants to. There's kids, and they are free to approach him because they have access. And it made me think of what is called an all-access pass. If you've ever been to a concert, you've seen them maybe hanging around people's necks. It's on a lanyard, big and laminated. Now, if you just have a normal ticket, you can get into the concert and get to your seat. But there's always those doors that are, you know, there's the guy standing there like this. You can't get in. If you have that pass, amazing. You can just walk right by that guy. He's not going to stop you. You can go wherever you want in that venue. There's no restrictions, no closed doors. You're free to roam. You can go backstage. You can go to the green room, which I don't know why they call it a green room. That's code for we have lots of snacks and drinks in here. Come and help yourself. It's free. You have access to the green room, and you get to hang out with the band. You can go wherever you want. Okay, so I said there weren't going to be any stories, but have you heard the story of Pastor Darren and Toby Mack? Do you guys know this one? The story. So he'll tell you he didn't name his son after Toby Mack. I don't believe him. He's a huge Toby Mack fan. And I don't even know how many years ago it was. We'll say he was a teenager, but I'm thinking he was a full-grown adult at the time. Have you heard the story where he kind of stalks Toby Mack, follows him around, like in his car, chasing him down the street, follow the guy into a bathroom, and then you've heard this one, right? Yeah. So Darren, stalker Darren, likes Toby Mack. Imagine if Pastor Darren had an all-access pass that day. For Toby Mack, it would have been scary. That guy standing at the door, he's there for a reason, to keep Darren out. But if Darren had that all-access pass, he would not have been following him in a van and stopping and going into the bathroom being sneaky, thinking, oh, what do I say? He would have had access to walk through any door he wanted. He could have been in the green room, eaten the M&Ms and the whatever else they serve, pretzels. I'm sure they have all kinds of amazing food back. No, pretzels aren't amazing. They have fried chicken back there. That's what they have. Darren could have walked to the back. He could have seen backstage, met the musicians. He could be hanging out with the band, eating the food with him. What if instead of stalking around and hoping maybe he could get his attention, what if Toby Mac sat down next to Darren and was like, hey, Darren, how's it going? I got this DC Talk CD, remember? Because that's what we had back then, were CDs. I autographed it for you, Darren, because I like you. I'm glad you're back here. I'm glad that you have that pass hanging around your neck. That all-access pass is sounding pretty good now, isn't it, Darren? You know, DC Talk doesn't really do anything, but maybe you can get an all-access pass to a Toby Mac concert. We'll see what we can do about that. But that all-access pass means you are free to walk through that door. You get to sit down and talk with the God of the universe because he loves you. There's no one at the door stopping you. So being a child of the King means you can run into your daddy's arms anytime you want, and he's going to give you a hug. It means you can go backstage before the show and just chat. Say, this is what's going on. How's your day going? And I know that for a lot of us, that when I talk about running into your daddy's arms, that is not something that creates warm, fuzzy thoughts for you because you didn't have a great example of a father. And that would be true for all of us. None of us have a perfect earthly father, but God represents the perfect father. And he wants to dispel any false images that you might have of what a relationship with a father might look like because of what an earthly father may have represented to you. He wants you to know that there is unconditional love, and because of what Jesus did on the cross, you have full access to him. No one's stopping you. Your sin's not stopping you because that price for that has been paid. So that all access is really important for us to recognize. You are invited to be with Jesus. As a child of the King, it also means that we are heirs. And usually when you talk about being an heir, it talks about it's after death. The inheritance comes after somebody dies. I inherit what they left for me. Galatians 4:7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So when we think of inheritance, we think after death. But in this case, we do not have to wait until after death. The kingdom of God is not for someday. It is for now. And we get to live in the blessings of God's kingdom now, today, here on earth. That is part of what we get to walk in as children of the King. We get to walk in his kingdom. Ephesians 2, verses 6 through 7 say, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And Colossians 1, verse 13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So we are in his kingdom now. And when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, in Matthew 6:10, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's talking about now. The best is yet to come. Heaven, I've not been there. I can tell you, though, that it's going to be amazing. But we don't have to wait for the best. We get to walk in that authority that we have been given now, praying and believing for God's kingdom and his will to happen in our lives now, today. So far we have talked about as children of the King, we have access to him. He is always with us, and that door is always open for us to approach him. And we are heirs, not just someday after death, but now, today. Living in this earthly life, we get to enjoy the benefits of belonging to the King. So what does that mean for us today? How does that change my life today? Well, the first thing we get to do is to embrace God's unconditional love. And that means embracing you. Embrace the you that God created and the you that God loves. We live in a world that likes to show us half-truths or untruths. If you are on social media at all, and I'm guessing that most of you are, either have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. There's new things like Snapchat and Tumblr. I'm too old for them. I don't know how they work. But if you are on social media, you get a view into people's lives that we didn't get to see before. And what you see isn't necessarily the truth. But we look at Facebook, we look at Twitter, and suddenly my life doesn't measure up. suddenly my life seems pretty boring and I'm not as good as I thought I was. I'm not having as much fun as the people on Facebook. My dinners aren't as fancy and as gourmet as the ones I see on Facebook. We like to take pictures of our food, I tell you. My vacation suddenly isn't thrilling. We're just in Oregon on vacation visiting family. You know, on Facebook, I have friends that are in Washington, D.C., and they got to visit the White House. I have friends that went to New York, and they got tickets to see Hamilton. And now suddenly my vacation is a little bit boring. I wish that I had their vacation, because that's what we see. When we look on social media, other people's lives look better. But we have to recognize most of what we see is a lie. They did get to see Hamilton. That wasn't a lie. But we see the half-truths. We see the gourmet dinners and the do-it-yourself craft projects, these amazing trips, the fun, the laughter. What we don't see are the dirty dishes in the corner, because we crop that out of the picture. We don't see the piles of paper sitting over here on the desk that I really wish I had time to get to, but I just don't, because we make sure nobody sees that. We don't see the mess or the doubts or the tears or the fears. We just see what they want to show us. And what we need to do is stop comparing. My vacation to Oregon was great until I looked at someone else's vacation that was better. Stop comparing your life to other people's, knowing that what you see isn't necessarily true. And even if it is, be happy for them. I will tell my friend, I am thrilled that she got to see Hamilton twice and I haven't got to see it once. We need to get rid of the twos and the nots, the T-O-O's and the N-O-T's. The twos, the too fat, too skinny, which I have never said, but I know some of you struggle with that. Too skinny, too moody, too many mistakes, too far gone, to this, to that. Or the nots. Not pretty enough. Not smart enough. Not creative or ambitious enough. Not rich enough. Not strong enough or athletic enough. Just not enough. But we need to all recognize that God made us. God made you. And he loves you. And he wants you to be you. Not a different version of you. Not you trying to be someone else. But be who God created you to be. Walking in his grace and his forgiveness and his love, following his way and his word, we're not there yet. We all have room to grow. There's always things that God's going to be talking to us about, teaching us about that we need to change. We want to be becoming more and more like him. Daily repentance is so important. Sometimes we hear this message and we think, oh, God made me. I'm good how I am. Yeah, I might be a little grumpy, but that's just who I am. Oh, I might be a little too something. I might be a little critical, but that's how God made me. Well, there's always room for us to grow and learn. Be who you are. And then as you walk in relationship with Jesus, as you get to know him more, as you get to know his word, there's always room for repentance. Every day there's things we get to come before the throne and say, God, where did I mess up? Where did I miss it? Let me lay aside any of my selfish ambition. Let me lay aside my sin and be absolutely 100% who you've called me to be and absolutely 100% loved by the Father who made you who you are. You did not and you cannot earn his love. Remember that. It's free. It's yours for the taking. So we get to reach out and take hold of that and be refreshed by it and enjoy it. And then knowing who you are, knowing your true identity as a child of the King, knowing that we belong to him. Have you ever seen the movie Tangled? It is, yes, you have. We watch it at home. Tangled, it's the story of Rapunzel. And we are huge animation films at my house. I have a son that wants to be an animator. We watch everything. Tangled really is one of my favorites. And it tells such a powerful story of knowing your true identity. For those of you who haven't seen it, I will give you a quick recap of Rapunzel. The king and the queen have a daughter, and they name her Rapunzel. And she was born with a special power. I won't try to explain it, but she had the ability to heal people, to regenerate, and to keep them young. Well, there was a woman named Mother Gothel who was getting old, and she wanted this power. So she kidnapped Rapunzel as a baby, took her away to the forest, and hid her up in this tower. And she told Rapunzel she was her mother. I'm your mom. You're my daughter. People are going to want to harm you because of your gift. So she was keeping her in the tower for her own protection, which I think is ironic because she needed to be saved from Mother Gothel. Well, every year on Rapunzel's birthday, her parents, her true parents, the king and the queen, would float these lighted lanterns up in the sky for Rapunzel in honor of her. And from her tower, way off in the distance, Rapunzel could see these lights going up. She saw the lanterns, and she always knew there was something special about them. Well, I'm not going to ruin the story for you if you haven't seen it, but the story of Rapunzel also involves a horse, a guy, and a frying pan. And Rapunzel finally leaves the tower, and when she goes into the kingdom to see these lanterns, she discovers that she is the missing princess. And you'll have to watch the movie if you want to know how it ends. But why in the world am I telling you about a Disney princess movie? Well, Rapunzel is a princess. She was a daughter born to the king and queen, and everything they had was hers. She had access to it all. The castle, the grounds, the kingdom, the food that I'm sure was amazing and gourmet, the balls, the gowns, all of it would have been hers. And she would have been an heir to that when her parents died. It all would have been her. But even before their death, she had access to everything in the kingdom that was hers as a princess. But then, in the middle of the night, an enemy came and stole her away from all of it. So she was a baby. She had no idea what had happened. And Mother Gothel was using Rapunzel for her own benefit. She told Rapunzel it was for her own good. It's not safe out there. There's people that will want you for your gift. She sings a song to her, Mother Knows Best. She was not her mother, and she didn't know best, and she did not have Rapunzel's best interest at heart. She was selfish and a liar. So instead of living in the castle, enjoying all of the benefits of what it meant to be a royal princess, Rapunzel was locked up in a tower, and she didn't know her true identity. And how many of us today have been told a lie about who we really are? But you see, Rapunzel, she didn't know the truth, but she knew. Deep inside of her, she knew something wasn't right, and she would see every year, and she knew it was on her birthday. Every year she'd see those lanterns, and there was something inside of her that knew they were about her. She'd see them in the sky, and there was some kind of hope that would spark in her. Finally, she got the courage to leave the tower, and it led her on a path to discover her true identity, that she truly was a princess. And my prayer for you today is that you will start on that path as well. For some of you, you have been locked in a tower of lies for too long. The enemy's told you a lie about who you are, and every once in a while, you get a glimpse of the lanterns floating in the sky, and there's a little spark of hope in you, and you wonder if there's more. You think, they've told me I'm this, I feel like I'm this, but I don't think that's who I am. I think there's more to it. But then the lanterns fade away, and what you've been told is what you believe, and you stay in the tower. But it's time to stop believing the lie. It's time to walk into your true inheritance of who you are. And whatever that lie is for you, you feel like you've been branded. For some of you, it may be tied to your career, or maybe your lack of career, maybe a lack of education. For some of you, it has to do with relationship fails. For some of you, you feel like you've been given a title. You're the pregnant teenager or the divorced parent, the high school dropout, or the black sheep of your family. But you need to know today that that is not your identity. That's not who you are. And when Jesus looks at you, that is not what he sees. He sees his child. He sees his daughter. He sees his son that maybe strayed away from him, maybe messed up, but he still loves you, and you always have access to walk back into his arms. His arms are wide open waiting for you. So it's time to stop comparing. Get rid of the nots. Get rid of the twos. And if you have to, you can get rid of Facebook. It's really easy. You just delete it off your phone. Don't open it up on your computer. And suddenly your life seems not so bad because I'm not comparing it to other people. But you have to stop believing the lie about who you've been told you are. Mother Gothel is not the mother. And you are not the servant locked up in the tower. It's time to come out of the tower. And Mother Gothel knew that Rapunzel had a gift, and she knew it was an amazing gift. And just like with the enemy, she didn't want Rapunzel to use that gift for anyone or anything. She wanted to keep it hidden. And she bullied Rapunzel. She manipulated her. If you know the movie, the song Mother Knows Best, if you listen to the words, she even at the end tells her, you're getting a little chubby. You're not so great. I'm like, oh, this is a horrible song. But that's what happens to us. Whether it's Mother Gothel, whether it's an actual person who would say lies to us, or whether it's the enemy whispering them in our ear. We've believed lies about ourselves. We've been bullied and manipulated into thinking we're something that we're not. But you need to know that you have an amazing gift too. Just like Rapunzel's gift to regenerate, you know, her hair would glow, she'd sing, and people would get healed. We may not have that gift, but God has put a specific gift into each of us, something that only you can do, only that you have been created for. The enemy wants to keep it hidden, and God wants to put it out there in the light so that all people can see it. It's time to see those lanterns and know what they are. Know that it's time for you to come out of the tower and embrace that gifting that God's given you and embrace your true identity. You are a child of the King, loved with an everlasting and unconditional love. It's time to see the light and come out of the fog and walk into that unconditional love and live in your inheritance because you are His. If I could sing, I would sing this song for you, but I cannot sing. Not the right notes anyway. I could sing, but not the right. So I'm going to read the lyrics for you, just part of the song from Rapunzel. It's called I See the Light. But just listen as I read these words, because I think that they tell a powerful story of knowing the truth. All those days watching from the windows, all those years outside looking in, all that time never even knowing just how blind I've been. Now I'm here, blinking in the starlight. Now I'm here, suddenly I see. Standing here, it's all so clear. I'm where I'm supposed to be. And at last I see the light, and it's like the fog has lifted. And at last I see the light, and it's like the sky is new. And it's warm and real and bright. And the world has somehow shifted. All at once, everything looks different now that I see you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your truth. And Lord, I ask that today your truth would be evident in our lives, Lord. For those of us that have believed a lie, Lord, that maybe because of past action, things we've done, places we've been, Lord, we have been branded. We have believed that we can't have access to you anymore. But Lord, I ask that we would lay all of that aside. Lord, we would embrace the forgiveness that comes from knowing you, from accepting you. And Lord, we would be able to walk into the truth of who we are, who you have created us to be. Lord, I thank you for each person in this room. And Lord, I know that there are some sitting here today that can so identify with being locked in a tower, being told lies about who they are. Lord, would you help them today to know the truth of your love, the truth of who they are, and that they would accept that identity and be able to walk into the light, out of the fog, knowing that they are loved children of the King. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your forgiveness, for your love, for the access that we have to you. May we leave here today full of your grace, full of your joy, and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.